It's always a joy when I get to kind of hear updates and do life with some of these young people. I've been at Bromham now for 10 years, so Hannah was kind of like 8 when I arrived. Is that right? Or 9? Kind of around that kind of age. In the children's work, came into the youth work. And it's just a privilege to kind of sit back and see someone's life grow. Because I remember when I first came to Bromham, people said to me, you've only got them for a little while. Because they all go to university and they don't come back. And for the first part of my life of youth worker here at Bromham, that's what it was like. People go off to university and then they don't come back and you kind of just don't see them all that often. And but then some of the young people started to capture this idea that actually, maybe I don't have to go to university. And for some people, university is right and they go to university and that's what they have to do. But as Hannah said, different people have a different calling on their life. And when they can be brave enough and bold enough to go, hey, it might totally go against the grain, but I really feel that God is calling me to do something different. And then to be bold enough to stand up and do it is amazing. And when she says she's going to be working with YWAM, she doesn't mean getting paid. It's not a paid job. So she's going to be looking for financial support and different things like that. And she's not worried about it, which is great, and she's at peace about it. But I just said to her, don't use the word work, because work kind of sounds a little bit like you're getting paid for it. She's volunteering, but she really feels this is what God is calling her to do. And God bless you that you're following God's call and following his lead for your life. Wonderful. Do you want to grab a Bible? Because you might need it. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 9. I hope that you're enjoying this series that we're in at the moment. As we've kind of been journeying through each Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, the preachers have been different. And we're working through 1 Corinthians. And as I say, Dylan is going to be here tonight. And he's going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 10. But we have this letter, 1 Corinthians, from Paul to the people of Corinth who have started to blend into their surroundings, who are struggling a little bit with their environment. And Paul is writing to them in this corrupt society to say, live your life for Christ. And I'm going to give you some helpful pointers which are going to help you on your way. And he's looked at corruption and sin and idols, lawsuits, marriage, sex, meat, sacrifices. And then we come to 1 Corinthians 9. And maybe it might seem a little bit out of place or maybe a little bit of a change of gear. But Paul is addressing something and he's writing to them. And he's saying to them, I am an apostle who has been sent. I'm sent to you. And I'm not someone who just kind of speaks these things. I'm someone who practices what I preach. And in this moment, he's writing to them and sharing with them and saying to them about all of these things that they've gone as they struggle in this place that keep Christ central and live your life for him. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the whole of 1 Corinthians 9, but I'm going to break it down into three parts. So Tim is going to come, and Tim has very kindly said that he'll read for us. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 to 14. Then I'm going to preach for a bit, then we're going to do a bit more, then I'm going to preach for a bit, read a bit more, and then I'm going to preach for a bit. And if we're still here at 2 o'clock, then everyone can go home. No, we're going to get it done nice and quick, so that'll be fine. But if you could read that first part, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 down to 14. Thank you.
Page 1808 in the New Testament, if you haven't got it. No one? Yes? So, the rights of an apostle. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defence for those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us? And as do other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for our living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and doesn't drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading on the grain." It is about the oxen that God is concerned. Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because when the ploughman ploughs and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have all the more? But we did this, did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with everything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel.
Wonderful. Thank you ever so much, Tim. And Tim will be back in a bit to read our next passage of Scripture. So Paul is an apostle, and Paul is someone who was sent as a messenger. And in this early part, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. And Paul kind of has these four questions that he kind of starts with in this moment. And the answer to all of them is yes. And he's saying, yes, I am. Yes, I am an apostle. Yes, I have seen Jesus. Yes, I am free. Your lives have been changed because I came to you and I spoke to you. Your lives are now saved because I came to you in that moment. And these people who were receiving the letter, their lives were changed because of Paul and because of Paul's ministry. So all of the answers to those questions were, yes, your lives have been changed because I am an apostle. I'm an apostle to you. The proof is in the pudding, you might say. Your lives have been changed because I came to you, because I came into this moment. I am an apostle to you. And then from verses 3 down to 14, it's kind of a little bit like Paul has a rant. Or he kind of just sets things straight just a little bit in their kind of minds, in their thinking. He's kind of addressing a few of these moments and his justification of what he does and what he deserves. And he says to them, those of you who are judging me, I say these things to you. And because Paul, he had the right to that of hospitality. He had the right to food. He had the right to be married. He had the right to be paid for his work. And he goes on to kind of express and to share. He says, you know, even soldiers, they don't work for nothing. They get paid for what they do. They don't work for their own expense. He says, even vineyard workers, they get to eat of the grapes. A shepherd, they get to drink of the milk. And the man or the woman who ploughs the field, they get something from that of the harvest. He was kind of making this example of other different people who work in different spheres of life. They don't do it all for nothing. And really, as an apostle and as Christ followers and workers in that place, they shouldn't really have to do it for nothing either. In verse 11, it says, if we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much that we reap a material harvest from you? He was saying, I've done all of this already for you. You are the crop of my sowing. I've sown into your life. You're the crop. You're the result of what has been sown. And then in the first part of verse 12, it says, if others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? He was basically saying, I'm worth something, surely. Was his kind of moment. You know, the example of all of the others. And I'm worth something, surely, in this kind of place. And then in the second part of verse 12, it says this, but we didn't use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. He was willing to sacrifice and to not accept things that should perhaps come his way because he didn't want to hinder. He didn't want anything to get in the way of the message of Jesus Christ going out and going forth. Let nothing hinder and let nothing get in the way because his focus was Christ and his focus was preaching that of his Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the end, in verse 14, we pick it up and it says, "In the same way, the Lord has commanded those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." Paul was saying, you have a responsibility to pay for and to look after and to care for your pastors and your teachers and your spiritual leaders. It's your duty. Just as a soldier doesn't work for nothing, just as the shepherd doesn't work for nothing, or the vineyard worker, or the plowman, they don't work for nothing. The people that are your spiritual leaders and your preachers and your teachers, they deserve something from you as well. So in this first part, we could kind of sum this up, that Paul is saying that I am an apostle. I'm an apostle to you. He has a kind of setting straight. He's kind of rant a little bit. But then he goes on to say, I don't want anything to get in the way. Preaching the gospel is the most important thing, and I don't want anything to get in the way of preaching Jesus in this place. Tim, would you come and would you read 1 Corinthians 9, verses 15 down to 23. Thank you.
But I have not used any of these rights, for I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tim. I don't use these rights, he says. I don't want them. That's not the reason why I'm writing to you, he says. He just wants to preach Jesus. He says, I have to preach. He uses strong wording in this kind of text that we read. He says, I would rather die than not preach. He was so compelled to preach. He said, woe to me if I don't preach. This is something that has been trusted to me. And he was in this moment of, this is what I have to do. It's my calling. It's my gifting. It's this kind of place where I am. He couldn't stop if he wanted to. Paul's life goals were to glorify God and to bring people to this knowledge of Jesus and then disciple those people into a full relationship with him, to use his life for this. It was, I have to do this thing because this is my gifting and this is what I have called to do. Throughout my message this morning, I want to pose three questions, just something that you can perhaps take away with you. There's no way that we've got time to kind of answer the questions now, but they're just something for you to take away. And if you've taken notes or if you've got some way of jotting something down, just encourage you to do that. And maybe this afternoon or over this week, maybe just reread 1 Corinthians 9 and just think of these questions as we go through. So question number one is this: what's your gift, what's your calling, and what's your life goal? Paul's calling and his gifting and his goal was that of preaching, to be an apostle, to go and to tell, to go and to share, to disciple the lives of those people that he was with in Corinth. What's your gifting? What's your goal? And what's your calling here in Bromham or in Bedford or in your sphere of life of where you are? As I say, we don't have time to think about that now. But maybe that's just something for you to have a think about as the week goes on. Paul was free, and he uses his freedom, but he says, I make myself a slave. I make myself a slave. He chooses to become a slave so that he can save people, to reach as many as possible. And he does these things. He was free to do, but he wants to win as many people as possible into a God-saved life and disciple those people into their God-saved life. And Paul's plan was to reach everyone, as many as possible, because that was his plan. That's what he wanted to do, to reach people. And then we pick up in verse 12. He says, he even goes as far as to say, to the Jews, I become like a Jew. And to those under the law, I became like them under the law. To those not having the law, I became like them. To the weak, I became like them. Because he wanted to reach as many people as possible as he could. I became, in order that I might reach. That I might reach as many people as possible. Verse 22, the end of verse 22 says, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. He said, I was not one of them, but I became like one of them in order to reach them. I read this quote once that said, the world that you cannot enter is the world that you cannot reach. The world that you cannot enter is the world that you cannot reach. If there's certain things that you say, well, I can't get involved in that, or I can't be there, and I can't do those kind of things, you can't reach those people in those places. It's not an excuse to live a wild life and do whatever you want to do and think, hey, I've got all excuse, I'm going to go there because I want to reach them. But we keep our bearings in Christ, because the world that you cannot enter is the world that you cannot reach. If you think, I can't be in that staff room because I just can't, well, you can't reach those people who are in that staff room. Or if you say, well, I can't go to that shopping centre or go to that place, then you can't reach those people in that shopping centre or reach those people in that place. Paul became, he became, so that he might reach some and save those people that are around about him. A Bromham Baptist Church here, I don't know what you call me. You might call me your youth worker or your youth pastor or your youth minister. You might call me something else behind my back, I don't know. But I head up the youth work here. And as I was planning this, I kind of came to the thinking, I'm actually not that young anymore. Just realised that after being here for 10 years. I just thought, actually, I'm not really that young anymore. When I came, I was kind of in my 20s, like just hanging on into my 20s. But I was in my 20s, and I was there, and I thought to myself, this is what I'm here to do. And now I'm thinking, I'm actually not that young anymore. I'm not handing in my notice. This isn't what it is. We'll see. But anyway, but I thought, I'm not that young anymore. But I realised that I become like young people in order to reach them, to preach to them, and to disciple to them. It's kind of what I do. I kind of realise, actually, like Paul, he became like in order to reach. So I'm not that young. But I realise that if I don't become like, I can't reach them. And if I can't reach them, then I can't preach to them. And if I then can't preach them, then I can't disciple them. But equally, it made me think, I'm not that old, but I really love contact ministry. And I love all that contact ministry offers and all that contact ministry does. And I'm not actually that old, I hope. I do have a few grey hairs, but I'm not that old. But, you know, I still want to be in those moments because I love contact ministries and I want to be able to reach them. And I want to be able to preach to our seniors as well. And I want to be able to disciple our seniors, even though I'm not. I can become like, and I quite enjoy it because I get to slow down. I get to sit down. I get to drink tea. I get to eat cake. All of these things that are just wonderful moments. I don't say to them, come on, let's go and play rounders or let's go and play football. I'm not, but I become like because I want to reach. I want to preach and I want to disciple those people around about me. And I guess that's kind of what Paul was saying. I'm not like da 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 da, but I become like in order that I might reach some, in order to be able to preach Jesus Christ to them, in order that I might be able to disciple them into a full life in Jesus Christ. Question number two that for you to take away and think about. What do you need to do to change to reach other people around about you? What's the world that you cannot enter? Because if you can't enter it, then you can't reach it. So I'm not old. I don't always get an invite to contact stuff. But I become like in order that I can reach? What do you need to change about your world and about your life in order that you can reach other people? The Message translation of 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 23 says this: "Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any in order to reach a wide range of people. The religious, non-religious, the moralists, the loose living, the immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I have become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those into a God-saved life. I did all of this because of the message. I didn't want to just talk about it. I wanted to be in on it." And I thought, actually, that explains it quite nicely for me in my thinking. It might not be helpful for you at all, but it helped me in my thinking that Paul, he voluntarily became a servant too, so that he could reach a wide range of people. He says, "I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ." So we become like, we don't do and get involved in everything that they may do in their world, but we become like in order to reach them. But we keep our bearings in Christ. And why do we do it? Because it's an attempt to lead them into a God-saved life. Because I don't want to just talk about it. I want to be in on it. I want to be in on this mission that Jesus Christ has called me to, has called Hannah to, and has called you to. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to be in on it. I want to be in on sharing Christ with those people around about me. And as a church, we do these things. We have to get to a point where we preach Jesus. And pretty much every single one of our ministry areas that we kind of do as a church, and the reason we do what we do, we post questions all the time. Is it just good? Is it something that's just good? But is there an opportunity for us to preach Jesus in that moment as well? Because doing good things is good, but we have to get to that place where we get to preach Jesus and tell people about Jesus, to lead them, as Eugene Peterson says in the Message translation, to lead them into that God-saved life. And why does he do it? Why does Paul do all of these things? Well, we read it in verse 23. He says, "I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." I do all of this. The reason I do all that I do, the reason I've written to you, the reason I live my life, the reason I'm an apostle for Jesus is because I want to lead these people and I want to do it for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in the blessing and the blessing that it is when we get this opportunity. So this second part that we've looked at, we find that Paul is compelled to preach. He's free, but he's a slave. He wants to reach everyone and anyone. He wasn't one of them, but he became like. And why did he do all of those things? Because of the sake of the gospel. And Tim is going to come and read our final part to us, 24 down to 27. Thank you, Tim.
That's why I took up golf when I retired, to reach those who play golf. Verse 24. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get the crown that will not last, but we do it to get the crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize."
Thank you ever so much, Tim, for reading our scripture to us today. We looked in the kind of earlier part that Paul was free. He had this freedom, but he chooses to be a slave in order to reach people. So we get this freedom, but this well-disciplined life. He wasn't someone who just kind of lived in freedom and was like, yes, everything's all fine. He lived this life of discipline. And we read that just in these passages here. He understood that self-discipline was a massive thing for him living his life. And he goes to say that all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. I remember going to a sports day, and I don't know whether it still happens now, but they went through a season, schools, of having sports days, and just everybody took part, everybody was good, and there was no winner. And I used to think to myself, that's not life, come on, let the one that can run really fast, let them get the prize, let them get a medal, and let them kind of do it. And I don't know how they kind of do it now, but it was literally like everyone would just have a run. It'd be like, oh, well done. Yes, they've just taken part. And it was the taking part that counted. When really, in reality, that's not life. And that's not what Paul was saying. He says, all run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way that you win. Run to get the prize. Run to get a prize. And people run for a crown here, a prize that won't last. But we run for a crown and a prize that will last. A prize that will last. So don't run aimlessly or meaninglessly or without purpose. Run to win. He says, I don't fight like a man beat in the air. I beat my body so that I will not be disqualified from the prize. Because discipline and living a life to run this race and to win was so key to Paul in who he was. I'm sure there's so many things about your world, or maybe you can think of things that your body tells you no. I'm sure we've all got those things. Whenever I put my running shoes on and go for a run, my body just says no. Why don't you sit down? Why don't you go to Contact Ministries and drink some tea and eat some cake? Why do you do those things? Because our body just says no. I don't want to. I could just spend my time doing something else. I could just sit down. Or I could go and just have a cup of tea, or I could do something else, or I could go back to bed, because we wrestle with our bodies. But we have to get to the point where we say, actually, I'm going to live this disciplined life. I'm going to beat my body. My body's not going to rule me. Because I'm sure equally there's times where we think, actually, I just can't be bothered to go to church today. Or I can't be bothered to get up that little bit early to go to pre-service prayer. Or I've had a long day and I don't want to go to discipleship group. Or I don't want to go to church members meetings. When actually we need to be rule over our bodies. Because our bodies will just say no, because it's so much easier just to say no. But Paul, he encourages and he says, no, we rule our body. I beat my body. I don't fight the air. I strict training. I do all of these things because I want to be in on the prize for which I am running. Because this life of faith, it's not a spectator sport. It's not a spectator sport where we sit down and we watch others and we go, oh yes, they're doing well and they're living their faith. And Hannah's a good example because she's here today. And we can look at Hannah and go, yes, Hannah, you're doing really well. You keep on doing all that you're doing. I know there's loads of other people as well that are doing all that they do. But it's not a spectator sport where we sit back and we watch. We don't observe from the stands. We don't say, well, I'll run a lap or two and then I'm going to stop. We keep on running. We run from start to finish. We keep on going. We train ourselves and we run. Question number three and final question is, are you still running this race of this life of faith or not? Did you kind of run a lap and think, oh, this is hard work. Maybe I'll just kind of stop now. God's called me to do this and this is my calling and this is my gifting, but I'm just going to slow my pace of life down now and I'm just not going to do any of those things. Or are you going to keep on going? Are you still running this race or not? Paul wasn't talking about being, when Paul talks about disqualified for the prize, he wasn't talking about salvation. He wasn't talking about being disqualified from our salvation. He was talking about being disqualified from the privileges of what he had, the privileges of being an apostle, the privileges that he had to preach. And he didn't want to be someone who dissatisfied his Lord. He didn't want to be disqualified from those things. He wanted to keep on doing those things. He wanted to keep on running and living this disciplined life and running and running and running to get the crown that will last forever. Not disqualified from salvation, but disqualified of preaching and dissatisfying that of his Lord. So in this third and in this final part, we've looked at running and fighting. We run to win. We tell our body. We keep on running. It's not a spectator sport. We keep on going. And we don't fail. And we don't dissatisfy our Lord. We want to satisfy him in who we are. As Paul wrote this letter to the people of Corinth, I kind of thought, what does that mean for us here at Bromham Baptist Church today? What does it mean? What's the kind of takeaway that we get to take away from this message today? And the first part of that is those three questions. What's your gifting, your calling, and your life goal? What do you need to do? What do you need to change to reach other people? Are you still running in this race or not? But here at Bromham Baptist Church, we can equally take on that we need to look after our leaders, our apostles, our prophets, our evangelists, pastors and teachers. We need to preach the word. That's not just the people from the front. All of us, we have to preach the word, because Hannah said, we're called to go. And when we go and we preach to people around about us. We reach to preach to disciple for the sake of the gospel, that we would not hinder it. We'd live in discipline and we would run this race that is marked out for us. So as you go this afternoon, and whether you go on to the picnic or whether you go home or wherever you find yourself going, would you take hold of 1 Corinthians 9? And would you apply it to your life? And would you be a blessing to your leaders? Would you preach Jesus Christ? Would you not be molded into the pattern of this world like the people of Corinth? And would you be someone who runs this race for Jesus Christ to receive the crown that will last? Should we pray together as Andrew comes in the band? We're going to sing our final song, but let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the privilege that we have of going through this book of 1 Corinthians. And we thank you for 1 Corinthians 9. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that they won't just be empty words on a page that we think that was nice for the people of Corinth and the people then. But we would take hold. We'd take hold of these words and we'd live this life. That we would be a blessing to those people around about us. That we would preach Jesus. That we wouldn't corner off areas in our life where we say, I can't go there. Because we need to go there to reach people, to preach to people, and to disciple people. Help us not to be molded by what the world says we should be. Help us to live this life. Help us to run for you. In Jesus' name, amen.